Hey, y'all, welcome back. It is the Late Night Vision Show, and this is episode number 308. My name is Jason Robertson, owner of Outdoor Legacy and one of your co-hosts here on the podcast. And as always, I got Hans with me over here. What is going on tonight, buddy?
I'm glad to be here tonight again. So we have a follow-up review. We reviewed a couple weeks ago the Clarion, AGM Clarion 384s. This week, Jason, we've got the 640. This is the big brother, the big boy of the two, the 640 resolution version. And they are calling this they call it dual base magnification. And it's got a cool trick to it. We're going to be talking about it very soon. But as always, y'all know we're going to be running down the specs, showing videos, and talking about our likes and dislikes and who it might be good for. But before we jump into it, I want to say, if you are interested in this, and you want to talk to somebody, if you're interested in the AGM Clarion, the 640, the 384, any other AGM product or any other optic that you might be considering, give us a call, 877-350-1818. You can find all of our optics at outdoorlegacygear.com, but this is our full-time job. We get to talk to all you fine folks during the day, and yes, people call and are like, I can't believe where you actually call people and call people back. And it's like, yes, it's really us. We're doing this and mopping the floors at the end of the day. Ain't that right, Jason?
That's right. And when Hans says a full-time job, he actually means selling scopes, because we've had a couple people call and think it's our full-time job to offer free help. And we're like, no, it's actually, we're selling scopes. Just to be clear.
Exactly. Yeah. But we thank y'all for joining us again. And call us if you're interested. We'd love to talk to you.
Love to have your business. Guys, we're going to jump into this. I think that they're using smaller font these days on here. It's definitely not that I'm getting older. It's got to be the font size. So I'm going to be kind of.
I feel like they're making these higher magnification scopes just for us, man. They know that Hans and Jason are getting older need bigger print and they need more magnification. Right. It's like when I'm driving my wife to town now. You know, when you're getting old. Yesterday we were headed into town and we were in my truck and my wife's like, do you have my reading glasses in your truck? And I was like, oh gosh, we're those old people now. We have reading glasses.
You're going to be getting discounts on your coffee at McDonald's.
I know exactly. Yeah. Y'all got that AARP discount going here at McDonald's. Yeah. Go ahead and tack that on there too.
Yeah. All right, guys. I'm gonna be going down these specs, and I'm gonna be kind of playing the trombone here, trying to read these. So, all right. So the AGM Clarion 640. As Hans said, this is a dual base magnification unit. I'll very quickly get into that because some of these specs won't make sense if I don't. Essentially, this optic has two different lenses, a 30 millimeter lens. Is it 30 or 35? 35 millimeter lens and a 60 millimeter lens. And what that means is this. We're all familiar, most of us, with digital zoom. So any thermal or night vision scope that you get, if you want to zoom up, you press a button and it zooms up digitally. So every time you go up in magnification, you're losing image quality. But with this, it's two different lenses. So it starts with one lens, and I'll just go ahead and get into my specs here. But it starts at a 2-power base magnification optically through the lens. And then you can use digital zoom if you want to. But if you want to zoom up and not lose any clarity at all, you just twist this knob on the front like a focus lever, but you just twist this knob. And when you do, it rolls in a different lens, a 60 millimeter lens. And now you have a 3-power base magnification optically. So this is a really big deal. You have a 2-power scope and a 3-power scope with zero image loss between them. We'll get into all that more and what that really means for you and how that can be beneficial. So I wanted you to understand what we're talking about as I go through these specs. So the AGM Clarion 640, it is $5,495. And you go, man, that's a lot of money. Well, wait, there's more. There's a whole lot to this thing and what it is capable of doing. So first of all, it is running a 640 by 512 thermal sensor, 12 microns. It's a 50 hertz refresh rate, and it is a sub 20 millikelvin. So if you're watching this and you go, That was a whole lot of numbers and specs. What's that mean? It means very good image quality. It's a very good high quality sensor, and you're going to get some of the best image quality that you can get out of this type of unit with that sensor in there. So it does have, as I mentioned, a 35 millimeter and a 60 millimeter lens. And so on your base 35 millimeter lens, it is a 2 power optically, and you can use digital zoom and go up to 16 power. When you roll up your 60 millimeter lens and you go to your 3 power, you can digitally zoom up to 24x. Now, field of view. So on your 2 power lens, 35 millimeter lens, you have a 66 foot.
You're struggling with that.
I'm struggling. I know. Millimeters and feet and inches. Yeah. 66 feet horizontal field of view at 100 yards. That's what you're going to see left to right. And when you roll in the 60 millimeter lens, now you're going to have a 38 foot horizontal field of view, again, at 100 yards. Detection range, they're saying, AGM says 1,800 yards is what you're, I'm going to make sure that's, see, it says meters slash yards. No, 2,000 yards is what you're going to get there. And that's not identifying, but that's detecting something like a human-sized target standing up out there. ID range, that's really all that matters. And that's what most people want to know. Realistically, what can ID a hog or a coyote, small animal like that? A deer, you know, how far can I realistically, safely identify that? And we would say 400 to 600 yards in normal conditions, and in, you know, not terrible, nasty, rainy, wet, humid, it might be a little bit worse, tall grass, that sort of thing. But in a normal field and just a normal night, 400 to 600 yards, you know, kind of again, depending if you're at your 2 power or your 3 power, somewhere in there. And that's a safe, conservative number. To be honest, if you've got some thermal experience, you're probably going to get a longer identification range than that. And larger animals, you know, cows, deer, elk, that sort of thing, being able to tell that that's not a coyote or a hog is going to be a lot further than that, because obviously they're larger animals. Mm-hmm. There are 4 color palettes: black hot, white hot, red hot, and fusion. There is audio and video recording. It does have a standby mode. It has picture in picture. It has 10 different reticles with 4 colors. You can also turn the reticle off. This is something that we like to do a lot of times when we're out getting video and things. If you want to use this as a handheld monocular and you don't want that reticle in the way, you can absolutely turn that off. It does have what they call shot activated recording. We call it, you know, recoil activated recording. So you turn that on, it will automatically record video when you take the shot. Our advice is don't trust it. You need to press the button yourself. Just any of these automatic features like that on any brand of scope, we're always like, hey, it's probably going to work most of the time, but it's not going to work that one time you need it. But it is there.
The one time you get a triple run in and you drop all 3 exactly. of them is the time it's not going to work. Trust me.
Press the button. Just remember to press the button. That's right. Yeah. This is probably one of our favorite parts of this scope and all of the new AGM, the Clarion and the Rattler V2s. And that's the battery pack system. Mm-hmm. So in the old models of the Rattlers, they had 2 CR123As, but the new Rattler V2s and now these Clarions, which is in the same housing, they're using a fully removable, rechargeable battery pack. And this thing is fantastic. I did a bench test on it, and I got 7 hours and 45 minutes sitting on my bench, just sitting there running. Now, obviously in the field, when you're video recording, you're running Wi-Fi, you're turning your scope off and on, that number may come down, colder weather. But realistically, in normal weather conditions above 50 degrees, I still think you're going to get close to 7 hours on one battery, maybe a little longer. Mm. And it comes with 2 batteries included. So that is very, very exciting. We've sold a lot of the Rattler V2s and a lot of the Clarion 384s and even the 640s as well. And no one is calling back looking for extra batteries because the battery life is so good that, I mean, again, they're going to be available eventually if you need them, but I don't think most people are going to need them. It does have an IPS 6.7 weatherproof rating. That is fully waterproof, submersible to 3 foot for 30 minutes. And there is an upgrade on this. And I don't know if we talked about this on the 384 or the Rattler V2s, but I'm going to talk about it here. And they have a updated recoil rating on the Clarions and the Rattler V2s. It is a 1,000. I don't even know what to, I'm looking at this. 1,000 G's. Okay. Now you're going to take this. You're going to go, what is this? I did a bunch of research. This is recoil rating is difficult because it's not measured in like foot pounds. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say 1,000 G's sounds like a tank. I mean, it sounds like that is tank capable.
It does sound that way. Yeah. But what we've seen is a lot of manufacturers that are saying 1,000 G's, they're saying that is normally somewhere around a 300 Win Mag or a 7mm Mag. I actually spoke to AGM directly and to one of their techs specifically about this issue and like, what do we need to say? And they're saying that most 375 H&H, which is significantly larger than a 300 Win Mag or a 7mm Mag, should be fine as well. So you're really getting a higher recoil rating because the old ones used to be 308 max. So most of your larger calibers now are going to be fine here. The weight on this unit, according to AGM, without the mount and battery, is 1.85 pounds. It is 10 inches long, 3.1 inches wide, and 2.7 inches tall. Also, big deal, it does come in the box with an American Defense Manufacturing quick detach mount. We are big fans of this mount. This is a couple hundred dollar mount. You're getting it for free. It is American made, the best mount you can get on the market, and it is return to zero. So if you pull this off your rifle, you put it back on in the same Picatinny slot and you have everything properly tensioned, it will return to zero. So you're getting that, you know, really, really nice mount included in this package deal.
Whatever AGM is spending on American Defense Manufacturing mounts, think of how many scopes that this has sold them. The fact that people, I mean, from day one, it seems like very early on, they adopted this and they were using
day one.
Yeah, they've been using ADM mounts. And so many people buy their scopes because they are including the American Defense Manufacturing mount. Yep. That's just what they're known for. Now AGM kind of goes hand in hand with ADM as far as companies go. Now, here's the optic itself. It does have a plastic objective lens cover, spring loaded, and you can actually turn this. A lot of people they ask about this, and you can turn it depending on what side you want that lens cap to open. It does have a objective lens focusing ring right here. Now, you got to take a good look at this. So there's a couple things going on here. This wide part with all the ridges. And if you're listening in the car, you're like, this is fantastic radio. Thank you guys. This is awesome. Yeah. We're trying to encourage you to go watch the videos, what we're trying to do on YouTube. Anyway, this big ring with the ridges right here, that's your objective lens focus. This little shark fin on the side, this is how you switch it from the 35mm mode, which is the 2-power base magnification, and you slide it over to 60mm mode, and that is the 3-power base magnification. So you got the little slide here, you got your objective ring right there in the front. Your button layout has the Rattler has a much improved button layout. This Clarion, you can't say this is an improvement because the Clarion is a new optic, but the same concept, very wide spaced buttons. They're raised with ridges. Very, very much usable at night in cold weather with gloves on. They've done a good job there. We talked about the American Defense mount with two throw levers. Got your battery door on the side, just a kind of a camera battery type of battery that you just slide in there. It does come with two, like Jason said. You got your USB-C port right here on the side, so you can plug it in. You can charge it just by plugging the scope into the wall with the USB-C cord, or it does have battery charging base that comes with it. It does come with a nice travel bag. AGM really, they've always, and we talked about from day one, they've always just had a really nice presentation with the product whenever it's delivered with the box, with the case, with all the accessories that comes in it. I mean, they've really done a good job in stepping up there and making customers get a very enjoyable first experience with their scopes. You got your eyepiece diopter focus here. It does come with a rubber eye cup right there, but this is the walk around, Jason. So as you can see, I'm holding my hand. It's small enough, y'all, that you could use this as a monocular, as a spotting scope. So you can scan with it. You can put it on the rifle. You can shoot with it. It's got a lot of different capabilities. And we'll be talking about that later on after we get into the likes and dislikes, Jason.
Okay. So I'm sorry. I was totally distracted because I just kept imagining somebody driving down the road and you talking about shark fins and ridges and bumps and twists and knobs. I'm just like, they have no clue what you're talking about.
It's all a grand scheme to get more YouTube views for YouTube revenue that we just don't get that we chose not to do.
I was going to say, what YouTube revenue? Because this channel isn't monetized.
We opted out of. Yeah.
Exactly. We opted out of. All right, guys. So let's talk about some likes and dislikes. I've got, if you've watched the Clarion 384 review, these are generally going to be the same of our likes and dislikes, but I do have one thing here I want to talk about, that there's a correction, something that I was wrong on. Shock. Cue the gasp.
Can we memorialize this? Can we highlight this clip to go in the best of, because Jason gets the pleasure and honor of correcting me very often. And it's not his fault. It is my fault because my brain and my tongue don't work together very well. But y'all, when Jason does, this is quite enjoyable. Listen, so
I make so many mistakes on here every week. I just hope people don't notice. Man,
one redeeming quality, you and I think are really good at realizing when we make a mistake, and we eat crow like we love it. So
no problem. I know I'm wrong all the time. Just ask my wife and kids.
Yeah, I eat crow like it's my favorite meal. So exactly. Go ahead.
No. I'm going to talk about it. Now, you know what? Since we're already on this, I'll go ahead and bring it up. So, and I'm not going to back this down a little bit, but I'm partially right. Okay. Is that what an arrogant like person says?
sounds like my wife. I'm not wrong. Technically I'm not wrong because I'm 3% right. So continue. Sorry.
I'm 50% right. How about that? 49. Okay. So one of the complaints that I had on the Rattlers and the other Clarion is that when you press the power button and you hold it for more than 1 second, it starts the shutdown sequence. The way most optics work is you press and you hold that and it goes 3, 2. And if you let off at any point in that 3, 2, 1, 0, it doesn't shut down. Well, the way that these work is you press the button and it starts shutting down and it's counting 3, 2, 1. And I said, you cannot stop it. Mm-hmm. And there's no way to stop that sequence. And a customer actually corrected me and he was exactly right. He goes, there is a way to stop the sequence of the shutdown and it's press any other button. Now, I'm sure that's in the manual somewhere. I'm sure it is. I didn't read that part of the manual. But
whoever that customer is, he is my new favorite customer. New favorite customer. Right. Thank you very much.
So he's right. And we tested it. If you press the power button and you hold it, 3, 2, 1, and you got to be quick here. I mean, because it's shutting down, but you got to press another button. Just press it and it will stop that shutdown. It doesn't tell you that on the screen, which I have seen some other optics that will say, you know, press any other button to stop this shutdown. If it told you, it would be fine. Again, this is a minor thing. It was one of my minor annoyances. Come to find out, I just wasn't smart enough to use the scope. So that's what it is. So if you are using this scope or any of the Rattler V2s and you press that power button and it starts shutting down and you don't want it to, press another button and it will stop it. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I had accidentally done in the field a couple times. And so anyway, for whatever that's worth. Now, I'm just going to go through these because I'm going to try to make these a little bit quicker. You mentioned there, Hans, in that where the zoom the zoom ring is. Mm-hmm. It's got that mm-hmm. little, you called it a shark fin.
I'm showing it right here.
That's a good word for that. I wish it was a little taller.
Baby shark fin. Yeah. Baby shark fin. It does. I mean, there's a lot going on here on the, you know, you get your eye cup lens cover or your objective lens cover that's right there and you can move it in and out of the way. But when you're down here trying to manipulate the scope and the focus ring and this, I found myself sometimes turning the objective lens focus and not this little, this dual base magnification lever, I guess, if you want to call it what it is. I just found myself kind of not finding that very easily.
Yeah, it's
not a huge thing.
It's minor. Somebody's going to 3D print something. I mean, I guarantee it. It's probably already done by the time this review's out. But that a minor detail. I mean, we got by with it. This is the one thing I wanted to mention. Slight annoyance. And I'm going to explain what it is. I'm going to explain how I kind of fixed it for myself. Again, I talked about this on the 384 review. But if you... So when you're zooming that optically, there is a wall. So you hit this wall right here, and now you're at your 35 millimeter lens. You rotate this over here, boom, you hit a wall, and you're at your 60 millimeter lens. And there's this gap in between where you're zooming, and you'll see this on some of the videos, where it's like focused, blurry, 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 boom, now you're in focus with, you know, the higher magnification. One thing I'd also quickly mention, I talked about this before. If you're watching those videos and you see it looks like it takes a long time to get from the 2 power to the 3 power, that's because we're trying to do this really slow and steady so it doesn't shake the tripod and the scope while we're doing it.
Right.
It is as quick as you can turn it. So if you're hunting in a situation, you're just going to turn it. It's there 1 second. So I know you're going to kind of see that and it looks like it's slow. That's just because we're turning it slow, trying to not shake. So what I found was this. If I'm over here in my 35 millimeter lens, 2 power, and I'm focused, and I emit this wall, and I hit this wall, sometimes it would not be properly focused all the way at 3 power. It was just a touch. I mean, a touch out of focus. So the way that I alleviate that is I bring it down to my 2 power, and I focus it, okay? Actually, that's not true. I take it to my 3 power, to the wall, and I focus it, and I get it sharp and focused. Then I bring it down to my 2 power, and I get almost to that wall, and I stop. And here's my reasoning for that. Most of the time, I'm going to be on my 2 power. I'm looking around. I'm scanning. I'm on a wider field of view. Boom. Hey, look, there's a coyote out there at 150 yards. I need to go to 3 power. Now, in the heat of the moment, I just turn that knob as quick as I can, hit my wall, and I'm still in focus. I'm not having to adjust anything. And then when you bring that back down, you can just, you know, slowly bring that down. And right before you hit that wall, it's in focus. I'm making this sound way bigger than it is. No one else. It's one of those things where no one else has complained about it. No one else has mentioned it. But again, it's what we do here. We try to pick apart the little bitty, tiny, small things that you know, we see that we'd like to see improved or whatever. So that's it. Now, I always like to end on something positive. And I told y'all about this power button. But there is actually something that's really cool about this power button. And that is the fact that this is ingenious. I don't know why everybody hasn't always been doing this. It's kind of like one of those things like Eureka. So on the power button, there is a tiny little LED that is recessed into that rubber button. And it's red when the scope is on. And it's so slight. I mean, it's not going to scare anything. You're not going to see it from 100 foot away, but it's right there. And what I like about that is that if you've got that scope sitting somewhere, you know, maybe you've got it, maybe it's on a tripod, maybe you've got it sitting on your desk, maybe it's in your truck, you know, you're riding around, what you can look down there and you can see that little LED just barely glowing. And you know, that scope's on and you may not want it on. You might've forgotten, left it on. Or, you know, maybe you do want it on. I just really like it. It's so small. It's simple, but it's a cool little bitty feature. So, and the power button, I was complaining about the shutdown. Part of that is I didn't know what I was talking about. Second part is it is cool because I like the LED in there.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously, you know, running into the likes, I would say the picture image is very, very good. It's 640 resolution quality, y'all. I mean, it, like you would expect it to be. Very good. We're going to talk about who it's good for because I think this really, you know, changes a lot for what we're going into right now, the time we're in and what people are really calling about these days. But really like the compactness of being able to use this in a lot of different capabilities, but also having something that has great picture quality, that's something that you could consider to be a short range optic and a long range optic now because you have two different, a dual base magnification method of two power at 640 and three power at 640. So this really just broadens the spectrum of who could actually use this optic. Obviously, you know, we're talking about the batteries and the fact that it does come with two batteries and you're getting great runtime with each battery. And it's something that, you know, glad to see, but AGM kind of moving away from the CR123 batteries, which has been a great move. We had Trent, the VP of sales, on with AGM, and he said, "Hey, we don't want to be in the battery business. You know, we don't want, this is not what we want to do. We're not here to sell batteries. We're here to sell scopes." So them moving to these, the battery packs and providing two battery packs is fantastic, even though they could have just put one in the box and everybody had been just fine and happy. But, you know, they went ahead and threw a spare one in there as well. Really, really like that. And then I'll mention one more and I'll let you finish it out, Jason. I really think, I told you before the show, I was like, man, these scopes, if you notice, they seem to boot up faster. The boot up process when you turn the scope on seemed to boot up faster than some of the previous AGM models, you know, the pre-V2 models. And he's like, yeah, definitely. They definitely boot up faster. So I do notice that. Didn't time it. Didn't start the timer. It was just a quick observation, but they do seem to boot up quicker than they used to.
They do. So another quick thing, button spacing, the button layout, really like this. I do think the way they've done this is with gloves, you can kind of feel where you're at. I like that. It is ambidextrous. Sometimes people ask that, hey, I'm left-handed. Yes, you can use it ambidextrous, either hand. I think it's very intuitive when you start playing with it and you've got that, you know, you got a menu button and then you've got an up and a down. And if you want to go, you know, right into deeper into the menu, you press the right button. It just takes a few minutes of kind of going, oh, I see what's happening here. And it's very logical. I don't think anybody's going to have to show you after just a couple minutes of playing in the menus, you're going to see how these buttons work. So I really like that. I think they did a good job of making it simple. I will say that this is a very simple scope to operate. I mean, I don't think, and again, I say this, it doesn't mean like, you know, oh, well, this scope's super hard, but there's really, they make this very easy. I like they've got a good manual. You know, we get a lot of complaints from customers about manuals of every brand. Doesn't matter what brand. And I get it. We all, me included, because I don't obviously read the manual very well. We want something really simple. It's like, hey, do this, idiot. But when you start trying to explain how to press this button, that button, then this button to do this, and you start writing it out, it's very complicated. It's very these guys that really want to complain about it, I'm kind of like, explain to somebody how to hammer a nail into a board when they don't know what a hammer or a nail or a board is. It's complicated.
Think of something that you've bought lately that you had to put together. And have you ever heard anybody really say, oh man, the instruction manual was fantastic. Everything you get, you know, we get furniture. My wife loves her hobby is buying furniture that comes in a million pieces. I think she just gets enjoyment out of watching me trying to put this together. None of the instruction manuals are good. I mean, you're like, oh, this is awful.
Let me say this. Yeah. And Hans knows this. We just put a whole bunch of new furniture and stuff together. I went through all kinds of stuff. These manuals are 1,000 times better than that. 1,000 times. So no, there's nothing wrong with the manual. I started this saying the manual's good. I think it does a good job. It's a full paper manual, explains it all. And again, good together. Yeah. So last thing here, and I'm going to transition this a little bit. I think this one nice thing, and is this is the style of scope that it is small enough. You can pop this off your rifle. You can hold it in your hand. And so I think that kind of leads into who is this optic good for? And I think it's good for a lot of people. Some scopes we would mm-hmm. say it's very narrow. Like, hey, mm-hmm. this scope's a 4 power. You really only need to be shooting this far. Or this scope's a 1.5 power. You really only need to be shooting here. You got a scope that is a 2 and a 3 power optically.
Mm-hmm.
It is small enough that you can use it as a handheld. This works for a lot of people. And I'll tell you, I don't want to, you know, jump off deep in the weeds here, but there's a lot going on this year. This is 2024. It is an election year. There's a lot of concern. We've got a lot of people mm-hmm. calling that are kind of concerned about some unrest and things that might be going on in the summer and the fall and whatever. And they're kind of preparing for some of this stuff. And, you know, the possibility, and maybe not even that, just long term, a lot of these people, you know, maybe live in an urban environment, or maybe they live in the country and the city's moved out to them. And it's like, hey, mm-hmm. I kind of need to know what's going on around here. I think this scope actually works really well for somebody who's kind of in that, you know, being prepared mindset, because number one, you can use it as a handheld. Number two, you can use it as a rifle scope. You've got a 2 power with a 66 foot horizontal field of view at 100 yards, which is a wide field of view. That's good mm-hmm. for close up stuff. You got a 3 power. Maybe you're going to need to zoom this up. You're going out there and, you know, hunting for food. It does a lot. So I think mm-hmm. for that guy, it's really worth considering, and you got really good image quality in this 640 to go with it, a long identification range.
Yep.
So past that, we just go to our normal hunters who are most of our viewers are and our customers. It's okay, which one of us is it good for? Well, I think this is the kind of scope, being a 2 and a 3 power optically, losing nothing between there. This is for the hog and the coyote hunter. Again, if you're the guy, then you're always shooting, 200 yards every mm-hmm. single shot. You know, this scope's not for you. You probably mm-hmm. need to get something that this doesn't really make a lot of sense. You might need more than 3 power. But if you're the guy that says, hey, I'm hog hunting, but I'm also coyote hunting, or mm-hmm. hey, I'm up north, I'm coyote hunting, but gosh, sometimes we're in some small fields and these you know, fox or these coyotes run right in on top of us. I don't want too much magnification, or maybe I come to Texas or the South somewhere once or twice a year and hog hunt. This is it. This scope is going to do both of those, because we mm-hmm. are generally going to recommend for most predator hunters a 3 power, just right. a kind of a general rule. Well, you've got your 3 power. And you've got your 2 power. So it is the ultimate of a 2-in-1 optic. And mm-hmm. Hans and I talked about this on our other review of the Clarion. I'm hoping this is the way of the future, because it allows, to me, less models and you mm-hmm. can do the same thing. Now, well, I might do this and I might do that. Which one? Well, you got to pick one in the past. Mm-hmm. Like, well, you're only going to be able to do this, or you're only going to be able to do this really well. The other, with this, you can do a lot really, really well.
Yeah. So the last 2 months, I've had more phone calls from people on a daily basis that are calling and asking about and buying thermal because of emergency situations. It's the most calls in the last 2 months about that topic that I've had since since COVID, I guess a couple of years ago,
yeah.
Since all the unrest then. So this one, you know, like Jason said, we've got an election year coming up. There's some uncertainty in things in society going on right now. A lot of weird things, just not great things going on right now. I had to talk to a guy last week that said, I lived through the LA riots back in the, mm-hmm. you know, the, I don't know, before I think I was even born,
the 60s 90s. Or 70s.
Well, yeah. In the 90s, no, I think there were several of them.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about the
you know, and all in the recent riots too. So, you know, and he's like, we just have to have something for protection. And so, yeah, this does give you that capability. Obviously, also, if you're mounting this primarily on an AR style rifle, yes. I think it's going to be more ideal than trying to fit it on your Woodstock Browning, you know, rifle. If it's a chassis gun, a chassis rifle, bolt action, then there's a pretty good chance it'll work. or if it's an AR style. But if you're getting into all these different makes and models of these, you know, bolt action rifles, you know, you might go with something else, as far as like an Adder or even just a Rattler or whatever. But now, Jason, before we move on any further, I think you need to touch on something that we need to really talk about, and that is the sight-in process with the two different
levels. Okay, I forgot all about it.
Yeah, so let's talk about that real quick, and then we'll
make this as simple as possible. All right. Guys, we're recording this in the end of March. I don't know what month this is. 2024. We were speaking to AGM at length today to multiple people within the company there today about this. We think this is going to be changed in a future firmware update. So you may watch this and go, I don't know what these guys are talking about. My scope's not this way. There's a little bit of confusion right now. And as of today, when you get a Clarion and you go to the zeroing function, this is one of those deals where they're actually doing something good, but it just got confusing. Mm-hmm. So you basically, as it is today, when you turn this scope on and you go through the menu and you go to where you're going to zero it, it has an option and it says, Hans, what does that say there? What is the exact word?
Separate zeroing.
It says the words separate zeroing
at the top of the the zero menu. So at the very top, the very first option that you can toggle on and off, above that, it will say separate zeroing. And that's the way it comes right out of the box.
Correct. And it's toggled to be off. Hmm. Okay. Well, when you toggle it on, then it says what? Yeah,
one time
zeroing.
Yeah.
Okay. So what it is it's a little bit confusing, and here's what it's supposed to be. Separate zeroing will allow you to zero, let's just give an example, 100 yards on your 2-power lens, your 35mm lens. And let's say you want to go, well, you know what? I want to zero at 250 for my 3-power lens, my 60mm. And you could do that. So that's separate zeroing. We would not advise that for the vast majority of people. We think it's going to cause a lot of confusion, a lot of missed shots. There's some people who like things complicated, and they're going to do that. We would not advise it for most people. So what do they call it? The one-time zeroing is what they call it?
Yeah, one-time zeroing, yeah.
One-time zeroing.
Yeah.
That's what we're all used to. We're going to zero it, whether you're at the 2-power or the 3-power, it's all zeroed. 1-0. That's the most simple, logical, easy way. The problem lies in when you get in there and it says separate zeroing, it shows to be toggled off. In reality, it should say that it's toggled on. So it's a little bit of a confusion there. It should say separate zeroing on, because by default, when you open this scope up, you're going to need to zero it both of those different magnifications. So that's the confusion. If you toggle that to say one time zeroing on, then you just zero it like normal, and it doesn't matter if you zoom up or zoom down. So it is a little confusing. This is going to be changed in a firmware update. We're pretty sure of that, because we were just talking to them today about this, going, hey, this is confusing, and we didn't realize what was kind of going on. We didn't realize that that toggle was not exactly right where it says off and on. So anyway, I know it sounds confusing. If you buy this scope, let me just give you this advice. If you want to make this as simple as possible, you just want to be in one time zeroing. And that just means you're going to zero it at 3-power or 2-power, and you're good to go. Yep. That's all that matters. If it says one time zeroing at the top, you're good to go. That's it. Very simple, small thing. I think they're going to get that fixed. And the instructions actually give a good explanation of how to do this and what's going on. It's just that the menu in the scope was a little different. So, all right. Hans, one thing I want to say real quick, kind of before we start wrapping this up, I don't think we've talked about enough. The image quality is really good on this optic, and it's something that I noticed right off the bat. I think it's the best 640 image quality that that AGM has had in a scope. It mm-hmm. is really, really, it is, mm-hmm. I believe this is an improvement over, I don't believe, I know it is, over their previous 640s. And we mm-hmm. like to see that. We mm-hmm. like to see incremental changes. And I think if you go back to, you know, and they've improved their image quality over the years, even with firmware updates. So if you go back just 2 or 3 years and look at their image quality, 640 versus today, 384 as well, mm-hmm. I think you're like, wow, they've really mm-hmm. made some big improvements. Right. And this 640 image, it holds its own in the market really good. And just, again, the fact that you're getting both a 2 and a 3 power is yeah. is that makes this scope very valuable.
Absolutely. So if you are looking to purchase the Clarion 640 or the 384 or any other AGM product, or if you just need help deciding what you need, give us a call, 877-350-1818, outdoorlegacygear.com. We'd love to talk to you, and we would love to help you decide on an optic that would definitely make all of this worth it, I promise you. So if you want to find out more information about the Late Night Vision Show, past episodes, the easiest thing to do is just to go to YouTube and search. I mean, there's a lot. We've done so many videos, 306 previous videos. If you want to find a scope review, yeah, well, I guess 307. My numbers are off. Yeah,
307. Sorry.
Yeah, I messed up my flow, man. So if you are wanting to find a scope review, there's a good chance we have reviewed it, or if we haven't, we're going to. But go onto YouTube. In your search bar, type in The Late Night Vision Show and also put in the scope name. If we've done it, the video will pop up. You can also go to thelatenightvisionshow.com, see all of our past episodes there. And you can find us on all the socials, Facebook and on Instagram. You can find Jason, all of his outdoor legacy stuff on Facebook and on Instagram and on YouTube. You can find me at HansETX on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube as well. And then if you would be so obliged, and I don't know how to do this, and maybe you can tell people, Jason, no. It would be awesome if you bought a scope from Outdoor Legacy. A lot of you have. There's so many of y'all that watch the show that bought scopes from Outdoor Legacy. Google reviews are very important, apparently. I didn't know this, but Jason said they're important. So we would love for you to go on over and give Outdoor Legacy as a company a great Google rating or review, or whatever you're supposed to do. I don't know. I've never done that before, but apparently it's a thing.
If you bought from us, yeah. We're not asking people just
to do it. If you bought from us, yes, please do it.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, please do that. You can just search Outdoor Legacy in Google, and you'll find it there, and it'll show and got reviews. Anyway, that's just something that is always helpful. We have people say, hey, man, you know, we see your reviews, and it just adds trust to the business. Mm-hmm. So, guys, listen, we hope you enjoyed this show. We've got some more reviews coming. We've also got some topic shows. I know a lot of y'all are like, oh my gosh, review, review, review. But we're in that season. We're in that time of year. But we do have some topic shows coming as we're kind of easing on into spring and summer. We'll be here before we know it. So y'all stick around. Guys, we really appreciate you watching this. We will be back here, good Lord willing, next week, next Thursday. Between now and then, y'all stay safe in the fields.